This past Saturday evening, I gave instruction on meditation, particularly, well, not just general instruction in meditation. I thought I would just continue in that same vein or theme. I think there's a real necessity in clarifying within ourselves what how we're approaching practice, and to have a feeling of confidence in what we're doing in our meditation. And particularly for those of us who are living within the community and have commitment to this lifestyle, but certainly also for anybody who is, and I think everybody who is here has a very long-term commitment to this practice, and the reason I say that is because we're shifting our emphasis in our life. And are turning away from the seeking of gratification, pleasure, excitement from the world and the objects of the senses, and directing more attention inwards. And in particular for a source of satisfaction, happiness, pleasure. And when we're the Buddha actually says, say those who say, for those who have renounced the world, one not getting say happiness and gratification from this sensual realm, and then if they don't get happiness and satisfaction from the meditation, they lose out on both accounts. So that the importance of having a sense of clarity and confidence in the meditation, because it is an area where we generate a sense of well-being. Of course, the kind of paradox is, that if we're dead set on trying to be gratified, satisfied, dependent on that for our well-being and happiness, then we'll be miserable and suffer. And, it has to be approached correctly. It has to be approached in a way that is appropriate balance. When we take the breath as the object of attention, it's really helpful to be attentive to the body. The sense of meditation being both an exercise of the body as well as an exercise of the mind or the heart. This is where they come together. And it's not a purely mental exercise where we kind of either overcome the body or disregard the body or ignore the body. But we're relying on mindfulness and awareness, attention of the body and the bodily processes very, very carefully, so that we can both calm the mind as well as understand the mind. So that in taking the breath as the object, really starting to be attentive to the sensation of the breath in conjunction with the body that we are inhabiting, the body as we experience it. So that settling into the sensation of the breath and moving into that sensation, taking the sensation at the tip of the nose, for example, and really feeling the whole how we're breathing, and either the restricted flow of breath, the coolness of the breath, the warmth of the breath. Usually as we breathe in, the breath is coming, the air is coming in from the outside. It's usually a little bit cool. There's a cool sensation as the breath is touching the tip of the nose. Feeling the sensation of the coolness moving into the nostrils, and try to really sort of feel very carefully the breath as it comes into the body. And use that sensation to compose awareness. But then also be attentive to the this quality of the sensation within the area of the face. You know, just what are the, what's the, your jaw feel like? And is there a sense of, you know, as you're breathing in, and then as you're, as the breath goes out, what does the jaw feel like? Because there's almost always, you know, some sort of tension there. Some kind, and there's you know, we carry certain attitudes. You know, how we hold the body is also indicative how we're holding particular mental states, particular attitudes, and so you know, particularly in how we hold the jaw when we're just sitting, because there's a the sitting posture should be nice and balanced, upright, alert, erect. But it shouldn't be tense, tight, driven, anxious, worried. And all of that comes through a certain tightness, in, say, in the jaw. So that with the breath, just breathing in and feeling that, recognizing it, relaxing it, see how quickly it sort of tightens up again. Be attentive to what it feels like. Do we say, how does it feel? Or is it just kind of relaxed and feeling very comfortable and open? No feeling of tension whatsoever. And really feel that, be attentive, follow the that quality of alertness, relaxedness, or even I mean, sometimes it can be kind of slack, even, you know, the jaw. You know, when the mind starts to wander, or there's a, it's too, you know, one isn't really attentive at all. The mind is wandering. One's got sort of, you know, so relaxed. You know, the breath goes, breath coming in, breath going out. Mouth, the jaw is sort of slack. Mouth is sort of open. I mean, I've even found myself drooling sometimes. It's just, now that's not sort of, you know, relaxed. That's just totally out of it. And, but you know, but it's, you know, it's an indication of a quality of mind. And you know, being very, very present, and it really helps to take that say attentive to those indications, those markers, those mirrors of what our mind is actually doing through the body. That be attentive to the breath as it's coming in, as it's going out. You know, feel just what does it feel like across the forehead, around the eyes. And there's a conscious relaxing, but there's also a very conscious attentiveness to being alert and not carrying particular either obsessions or worrying, proliferating, or being driven by some particular need, want, attachment. And it helps to have that that indication, that little reminder of just that physical manifestation of hardness, tightness, or slackness, looseness, whatever. Some kind of reminder to see what the mind is doing, what the heart is doing. The other day in morning reflection, I brought up the quality of desirelessness and fearlessness. Desireless and fearless. And how does that manifest physically? What does the body feel like when we breathe in and not being driven by desire, not being driven by fear? What does it feel like? What's that do to one's posture? What's it do to the rhythm of the breath? What's it do to the feel of the breath? And to me, it sets that quality of spaciousness and alertness, presence. And it's just, one in-breath and one out-breath. But we can, the body and the mind are functioning together. As the breath becomes more subtle, as the mind starts to relax, those go together. As the mind is more alert, the the mind is settling down, the breath starts to get a bit more subtle. When the breath is getting more subtle, it's more imperative to sustain attention. That's one of the, again, another sort of paradox or even a problem, difficulty with the, say, with breath meditation, is the the better you get at it, the harder it is to do it, to sustain it, to see it, because just naturally the body relaxes and the breath becomes more fine, and the rhythm starts to slow down. You start getting more settled, and there's this, you breathe in, waiting to breathe out. And the rhythm of the breath really settles down. And then if you're not attentive and not present, that's where the mind oftentimes starts to wander off and starts looking for something else to do, because of the there's a gap there. So it's even more imperative to holding attention with the body or with a feeling of spaciousness, because there is a gap, there is a space, there is an empty point in the rhythm. And if one's not training one's attention, or one's not ready to be present with a particular feeling, then the mind throws out different memories, thoughts, and it seeks an object elsewhere. So one gets sidetracked. So taking the body, as I say, you can be around the area of the face is really helpful, because we carry tension, we carry emotion, carry feeling within. The face is very expressive. But similarly, the rest of our body is just as expressive, but we tend not to be that attentive to it. So it's helpful to come down into the body, and it's actually very useful to do that as an exploration, because we're so identified with our head, our face, whether it's our face as a manifestation of me, that's who we see in the mirror every morning, and that's who I am, is this particular image, or with our head in terms of our, this is where we consider our thinking going on, all our thoughts and ideas, and that's who we think we are, we feel we are. And we tend to be very idea and ideal oriented. But it's important to come into the body, and the breath is a wonderful way to explore the body. One with the actual physical sensation of the rhythm of the breath, coming down into the abdomen, staying away from the tip of the nose or the area of the face. My first few years of meditation, I really put a lot of attention in bringing awareness down into the abdomen, because I just felt that as soon as I started to pay attention at the tip of the nose, and it was just way too close to the thinking mind, and I'd get carried away just immediately. I'd get caught up in thoughts and and the identification with the thoughts and ideas, memories. So that coming down and experiencing the breath at the abdomen. And there's a real sense of internalizing the attention and mindfulness of that rhythm of the breath rising in terms of the breath coming in, and the rising of the abdomen, and sort of the sensation of rising, expanding, movement out. And then as the breath goes out, there's that sensation of the breath kind of collapsing, moving inward, that rhythm of expansion and contraction, of rising and falling, coming into being and passing away. Which is very physical, and is also more sort of, it's kind of centered in the kind of the core of our being, and not in a abstract thought-oriented way, but in a feeling tone. So that's very useful. It's that being very attentive to that movement of the breath, and it's almost like really riding a wave of sensation, being with the wave as it comes up and crests, and then as it comes down, comes to its trough. And that it's very physical, it's very movement oriented, but it's centered. It's a bit more tangible, and there's, say, a bit more of a range of movement, say, than the sensation right at the tip of the nose. So there's a bit more of a spectrum or scope to be attentive to, and that's helpful. So taking that rhythm of the breath in the abdomen, and similarly, you can be attentive to, as you bring awareness down into the body. There's also I think you can be much more attentive to posture. And so that one's sitting is sitting from the abdomen, sitting from the pelvis, being centered, or as at the end of the breath, right in the lower abdomen. And there's a real anchoring there, so that one's posture and one's sitting is coming from just the lower abdomen, and one's very firm, say, in the pelvic area, and then the body rises up from that place of awareness. there's a real power there, strength there, that is very helpful for meditation. And as one, say, brings awareness to that and informs that, breathes power, strength, attention into that, it's important again to relax and say loosen the shoulders, the back, the chest, so that there's a kind of a strength and power there, but it's not forced. When it's not forced, then it's able to be sustained. And it, and especially in these, say, in these observance day nights, you know, it's really helpful, essential to being attentive to, you know, how do we bring energy into our posture? How do we relax so that we're comfortable? How do we maintain an alertness and interest so that one's able to sustain the meditation over a period of time? How does one not get, you know, tense from trying too hard? How does one, say, not relax so much that one is falling asleep? So that's exploring. Exploring the breath, exploring the body. You know, sometimes just, you know, with the rhythm of the breath, just feeling and following the feeling through the body, so that there's the energy that one draws in to the body is then shared, dispersed, moved around through the whole body. Letting the feeling of the life force, the breath energy, come through the arms. Is part of the body. And sometimes we think that, like meditation, we've got to, you know, concentrate on, when we say, you know, one pointedness. Yes, we need to have a one pointed concentration. But that one point isn't rigid, it isn't fixed. It's just not, let's say, one-pointed, it's just not distractive. So that breathing in a non-distracted way, that is attentive to the sensation in the body, movement of feeling through the body, the movement of breath energy through the body. A recognition of what the mood of the mind is. An attentiveness to a mental state that's kind of open, relaxed, interested. There's a lot going on there, and it's one-pointed because it's non-distracted. Sometimes we can be so, get so tight and wound up trying to make the mind not move. And get very tight and tense, trying to be one-pointed. And, that's maybe not quite what the Buddha is meaning by one-pointed. There's a real range and a tone that is held by one-pointedness. So we can be very attentive and interested and explore the sensation in the body and the feeling of balance that's in the mind, in the heart. Bring attention through the and moving the breath energy through the body, through the arms, relaxing but energizing. Down the back, and this sort of relaxing but energizing. Down in the chest area, around the heart base, the feeling of being energized but relaxed, open, letting the rhythm of the breathing inform that quality of alertness. Bringing attention to the base of the spine, the feeling of contact as we're sitting, the hips, and your backside, and that as it touches the meditation cushion, the legs, just the feeling in the upper thigh. Are we tense and tight, or is it? What does it feel like? Can we bringing that breath energy into the through the legs, down to the tips of the toes, having a feeling of what it is like to inhabit a body. So this practice of the breath, meditation, is really, one needs to be engaged. And engaged not just when we first begin to sit, but engaged all the way through each meditation. There's a habit of mind that we have where we set an intention and try to get a result. And then we do that in meditation, where I'm going to meditate, and I want to get my mind peaceful. And And what we're doing, we're result oriented, sort of task oriented. But we're looking to a result. We're looking to get something. And so we tend to, you know, either lose interest after a while, or the mind feels oppressed by having been told to do something. And you know what it's like if you're doing something else and you've been told to do it. And you tend to get bored with it or resent it. And oftentimes, you know, that's what we do to our own mind when we sit meditation. You know, trying to get a particular result. And you know, it's just so important to set the intention of sustaining, maintaining interest and engagement in the meditation all the way through, bringing an aliveness and presence back into the meditation all the way through. That's where meditation comes alive. And that's where the mind starts to settle and become peaceful. You know, start to reflect back. And I certainly know that's what I have done with myself. And if I'm not attentive, that's what I do too. Yeah, so, you know, you start the meditation and you're sort of, you know, and kind of hoping to coast into some kind of meditative state, whatever that is. Or you know, some idea of what one would like the mind to be, and then you know, forget to sustain it, sustain the actual engagement. So each moment, really coming back to that sense of reviewing, recollecting, being attentive to the sensation of the breath as it comes in, sensation of the breath as it goes out. And that's where we really start to, the meditation starts to become more interesting, and we actually feel a connection with the breath, and the mind also starts to, usually will start to settle as well. So that experimenting with it, exploring the breath. And it's, you know, it's sort of like being as if we're a bird that's in a cage. And after a certain time, being a bird in a cage, even if they bring you food and hang you up in some climate-controlled environment, I'm sure it must get pretty boring and frustrating. And the bird flies around and looks for a way out. And you know, if it finds a way out, then it flies out of its cage. You know, I think similarly, I mean, that's what, you know, for ourselves. Using the meditation and the breath is a kind of that exploring of where are they, what's the way out of the cage. What's the way out of the kind of how we're entrapped by the body, the mind, by samsara. Because if we get used to the cage and just then we, you get used to it, you're okay with it. Nibble on the, start to look forward to the, whenever they bring you food and water. Well, it's like, Rajan Cha saying, talking about that, okay. It's like farmers and their chickens. Yeah, the chicken, the farmer throws out rice to its chickens and it puts water out to its chickens. And, it's not very long and the chickens go around there eating every day and they don't run off or, they start to think, gee, that farmer's just really, he really likes me. He's really, and every once in a while the farmer will come and pick up the chicken. And the chicken's like, gee, he really likes me. And giving me attention and everything. All the farmer's doing is sort of checking, see, is he heavy enough to, heavy enough to eat yet? Is he fat enough to send off to market? Is he fat enough for the meal? Yeah, so that, not getting used to samsara, not getting used to getting comfortable in this, in the condition of birth and death. In Thailand, they give the image all the time, the forest monks always give the image of the difference between a forest chicken and a domestic chicken. Because there's these wild chickens and that are still around in many forests, and they are so the domestic chickens are always they're tamed and domesticated very easily, and they're sort of comfortable around humans, but they're always eaten. And the forest chickens, the wild chickens, are really they're very difficult to tame. They're always looking to run away, fly away. They don't like to be. Domesticated at all. So on a certain level, as meditators, we need to keep that perspective of not getting totally comfortable or heedless or unquestioning in our experience of the world around us, looking, keeping one's attention clear, so that one is able to see the way out of the cage, and that that engagement, exploration of the breath, really making body, mind, awareness is an important vehicle for that. To offer that for reflection.